And rolling into hour number two with a little win from college football. We've already chatted about it in hour number one with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star on Les Miles taking over the program at the University of Kansas. Plenty of action around the Big 12 and college football to get with here as we begin the second hour of the show. Part of What's on Tap, courtesy of Side Pockets at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler.
Lunch special today at Side Pockets is BLT sandwich or quarter pound cheeseburger, both served with fries for only $5.95 today. Speaking of KU, how about the Jayhawks putting 40 on OU? I know they lost, but they were never completely blown out of the game and kept scoring, and Puka Williams looked great. Oklahoma has now given up 40 points or more in three consecutive games and have won them all. Any fears about Oklahoma's defense certainly didn't get put to rest as KU hung 40 on them.
Oh, my God, no. They're exacerbated. And by the way, that takes nothing away from Kansas.
Of course.
More power to them. Kansas, I'm going to say this about David Beatty as he's about ready to leave. They played hard. They played hard, and they played – I mean, it would be really easy at this point. New coach, end of season – had some promise, didn't quite go the way they wanted to. But, Shane, they're still out there playing hard. They've had a couple of moments where they've been a brain-dead football team. But generally, Kansas hasn't been bad.
No.
Did I just say that?
They just
really haven't been that bad.
They just didn't have an answer for Kyler Murray. And,
right.
You know, there's no shame in that. So all of us that thought OU was going to cover that game, no shot, not even close. Speaking of our State Farm picks, not only did the Citadel score, they scored
damn
three
right
times.
You're damn
it was
right they
10
did.
10 to 10 at halftime.
It's all over Citadel on Saturday.
Oh, you're
all
so smart.
All over the Citadel.
And Alabama, by the way, favored by 51, didn't even get to 51. Although,
nope.
The State Farm, I think Bob hit on that. He said they're not going to get to 51. They didn't. But they do win 50 to 17 in an otherwise. Who cares? Alabama versus Citadel game. The fact that it was 10-10 at halftime gives Nick Saban all that he needs and the teachable moments and to get his guys' attention heading into Auburn.
No question.
Iron Bowl coming up this weekend. Like I said, an otherwise meaningless game. The fact that it was 10-10 at halftime maybe would fuel those players in a game in which they were sleepwalking. So I imagine it'll be a hard week of practice this weekend for Alabama and the players. Notre Dame 36, Syracuse 3.
Probably the most impressive result of the weekend. Syracuse had been playing really well, had moved up the charts. What were they, 12, 13 in the country, something
12,
like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Dino Babers' team had been playing really, really good football. And Notre Dame just took them out behind the woodshed.
Yeah, Eric Dungy.
And did it in New York City, too.
Eric Dungy went out with an upper body injury. I don't know if it would have mattered, though, honestly. It was
was
early, right. But Irish held Syracuse to 122 yards of offense through the first three quarters, and that's not typical. Syracuse is a up-tempo, score a lot of points kind of team. But it's too bad that they, you know, Eric Dungy went out with injury. But again, I don't know that it would have mattered. It may not have been 36-3, but I don't think Notre Dame would have been scared too much. Two teams in the Big Ten that did get scared, but both survived. Michigan held off a pesky Indiana team 31-20. And in overtime, Maryland went for two to try to win it, which I totally agree with, but fell short. Poor pass. Otherwise, Ohio State gets upset. Ohio State 52, Maryland 51 in overtime. Who's shakier
they are. You're right. And they're underdogs for their matchup with Michigan. Ohio State is shaky. I mean, they're on shaky ground. I'll be interested to see what happens this weekend. But not a lot of faith in Ohio State. I still have some in Michigan. I just don't know if Michigan has enough offensive juice to play in a game like with a Georgia or a or an Alabama, a Notre Dame. Ohio State, well, I mean, they look, beat, Ohio they beat State, Notre Dame. So.
Ohio State can score. I mean, they're
Ohio State can score.
They're
yeah.
a little bit like Oklahoma in that way. They can outscore you mm-hmm. if they get into a track meet. They had 688 yards of offense against Maryland. Problem was they gave up 535. And well, we're talking about them. They're number 10, so they're a little bit further down sure. the pecking order. Georgia stepped out of conference and killed UMass 66-27. LSU likewise with Rice. And Oklahoma State, sure enough. You kind of mm-hmm. called it. Oklahoma State, 45. West Virginia, 41. Mountaineers,
thanks for showing up, West Virginia.
Mountaineers led 31-14 at halftime and 41-31 in the fourth quarter. But Holgorsen going to Holgorsen. And West Virginia, their defense let them down again.
I've taken crap from people on West Virginia. I have nothing against West Virginia. I have nothing against Dana Holgorsen. Thought he was a tremendous offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State. Think he's done a good job at West Virginia, but they just haven't been trustworthy. They were a top 7 or 8 team in the country with Geno Smith that one year, what, a few years back, 2013. And they underachieved with that football team. They were, what, a top... They were top 10 preseason, weren't they, Shane, this year?
The West Virginia?
Top 10?
Yeah, I think so.
I mm-hmm. think they were top. And here they are. I think, look, can you claim a good season? Sure. But has it been the type of season that West Virginia had envisioned? And maybe they end up being 11-2 or whatever, you know, I don't know. And it'd be pretty hard to split hairs, but they're not going to the college football playoff. And I think relative to their expectations, they've fallen a little short. And by the way, still have Oklahoma to play.
Right.
Now, can they reclaim a little dignity this weekend? Yeah, they can on Friday.
If you'd just taken care of your business against an Oklahoma State team that was, I think,
no, you're playing for everything.
5-5 at the time or whatever.
Yeah.
And not to say that they overlooked Oklahoma State or was looking ahead to Oklahoma, but and you're up 17 at half and 10 in the fourth quarter, you got to win.
You got to do better.
You got to win that game, yeah.
You got to close. And you supposedly have one of the top quarterbacks in the country. You can't protect a 17-point lead in the second half or a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Come on now.
Well, they do get Oklahoma this weekend, and now the Big 12 becomes big OU fans.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely.
West Virginia wins that one, and that pretty much wrecks the Big 12's hopes of OU getting into the playoff.
You know, it's interesting, Shane. Mike McIntyre was fired yesterday at the University of Colorado, and one of the names that's popping up with that opening is Dana Holgorsen, who reportedly it might be ready for a change of pace from West Virginia. Just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Dino Babers' name has been mentioned. Mark Helfrich's name has been mentioned, former Oregon coach now on staff with the Bears. Jeff Tedford, who was at Cal, now at Fresno State. By the way, he's done a hell of a job.
They're doing well this year, yeah.
Yeah, they've done a really nice job. Jeff Tedford, really good offensive mind.
Yeah, he is.
But I thought that was interesting when I was muddling around yesterday through things to see Dana Holgorsen's name out there front and center. So anyway, just little things to think about as time marches on. They had supposedly been pretty interested in Les Miles, but
yeah, I was going to ask Jesse that, but time was running a little bit short. I wonder if Jeff Long ever had anybody else in mind. I mean, I think it was fairly clear that Les Miles was his number one. What if he had to go to plan B?
Why would he? Well, yeah, there's probably a plan B. Those guys all have short lists.
But I wonder who it was, though. You know,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that
someone
been
we've heard of. Is it a coordinator somewhere? Or not that Les Miles is a retread, but by definition, would it be, you know, a retread or an up-and-comer OC or DC somewhere that we're not familiar with? But I guess... Glad we don't have to find that out, because like we both agree that Les Miles was a really good hire. Did you happen to see Wazoo lay it on Arizona? They had 55 points in the first half, beat them 69-28. They're still once beaten.
Minshew looks pretty good. I mean, he did that day anyway. He was a little unsure in an uneven performance the week before, but the mustache was huge in that game. What did he throw? Seven touchdown passes and no interceptions. And Washington State is one of those teams you never think about. And what are they? They're sitting there number eight. Now they're not going to get there. But Shane, they're probably going to win the Pac-12.
Yeah.
They're going to win the Pac-12. They beat Washington, and I think that they will.
Not so fast. I mean,
Utah's down there, and Utah's okay, but they don't have their starting quarterback. They don't have their starting running back.
Yep.
Now, they did score 31 unanswered on the road in the snow at Colorado and won. So, Washington State, Utah. I think I'll take Washington State in that game.
Well, and the Apple Cup is going to be okay, I think. Washington beat Oregon State 42-23. Wazoo. It's not just the air raid. Well, I mean, that's a lot of it. And Gardner Minshew is really good at running Mike Leach's offense.
Though.
But, yeah, they're okay defensively.
They're okay.
They stuffed Khalil Tate when it mattered. He got some garbage yards and touchdowns. But, man, I thought they were going to score 100 the other night, the way things were going. LSU beat Rice 42-10. Not much to see there. In addition to the West Virginia-Oklahoma State game, obviously. UCF, they're not either going away anytime soon or probably going to shut up anytime soon. They beat Cincinnati 38-13. They got College Football Game Day to go down to Orlando. They took care of their business against the next best perceived best team anyway in the American and Cincinnati and beat them by 25. Up next, they have South Florida this weekend. So UCF and USF. USF's not quite what they used to be, and UCF in the most recent college football playoff ranking, number 11. I don't know how much, 11 or 12, 10, 11, whatever.
11. They're
flirting
eight
with the top 10.
Anyway. Yeah, they're 8. They're 8 in the AP this week, tied with LSU. Ahead of Ohio State, right behind Washington State. So,
still not quite enough juice for those guys to get in the top four, even with the most chaotic of messes over the next couple of weeks. They're gonna fall short again. But they're also, if they keep winning and they've won 23 straight, and they've already clinched a spot in the American Championship game, they're gonna play in a New Year's Day bowl again. And who are they gonna draw?
Yeah, good question.
Looking forward to that. Texas, I guess, kept its hopes alive of being in the Big 12 championship game, right? They beat Iowa State. That was an elimination game for either one of those teams. Iowa State kind of has hit a snag after they were cruising right along for a little while. They're now out of Big 12 championship game contention talk. They didn't have David Montgomery, their starting running back, for the first half after he was involved in a brawl in the Baylor game, so he had to sit out the first half. And Brock Purdy, their freshman quarterback, kind of came back down to earth. So Texas beat them 24-10 in kind of a slugfest in which Sam Ellinger got hurt again. So pretty much anybody not named OU in the Big 12's got their issues one way or the other. And they hate to say it, but everybody but OU is just kind of playing out the string right now, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. Absolutely. I mean, there'll be some nice locations for bowls, and they'll play in some nice games in the postseason, but it's a pretty good long shot at this point to get into the CFP, even for Oklahoma, I think. Long shot's probably not fair. They're sitting there at six, and things can happen. So I'm not putting anything behind or beyond them, but they've got two pretty tough games that they've got to deal with here before they start making their plans for the CFP, don't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, they got to go to West Virginia, and then you've got a championship game against at least someone that can be How's that shaping up right now? Is Texas the odds Texas. On favorite for
yeah.
a rematch?
They keep doing yeah. what they're doing. Yeah, it'll be Texas.
Yeah.
Okay. The winner of that Texas-Iowa State game would have been the answer, and Texas won. So Iowa State's out, and at this moment, it would be Texas. Taking a cursory peek at the bowl situation and who would go where, West Virginia is projected to go to the Camping World Bowl. That's the one down in Orlando. Texas maybe to the Alamo Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Texas, West
Sounds
Virginia,
good.
They're both kind of in that on that little borderline there. Trying to get toward the New Year's Day Bowl. I want to see where they have UCF going. The Fiesta Bowl, maybe Texas. Sugar Bowl, Georgia and Oklahoma are the projected combatants there. So that's a best of the rest bowl. That's a consolation prize. Just missed out on the CFP Bowl, the All-Star.
That'd
All-State
be a hell
Sugar
of a
Bowl.
Game.
Yeah,
I think
it would.
We've seen that game in the last year, but it'd be a hell of a game. So
yeah, Georgia and as it stands right now, the Sugar Bowl would get the two teams that didn't quite make it, and LSU would be on the outside looking in, going to the Fiesta Bowl as well, instead of getting in the college football playoff. But still some football left to be played. That's certainly not set in stone, but just a little bit of a look ahead where some potential bowl sites would be for Big 12 schools. And
right.
You know, it's...
How about K-State over the weekend against Texas Tech? Boy, defensively at home... That's a pretty good football team.
Yeah,
what
they
is it,
are.
Is it three in a row? They haven't given up more than 21 in three straight games at home, something like that.
Boy, you would think Texas Tech is a dome team, wouldn't you?
The yeah, way they, you would.
The way they play yeah. away from home, it's,
mm-hmm.
man. And not taking anything away from Kansas State because their defense was stifling. We held them to, what, two field goals?
Yeah, that's 21-6.
21-6,
and that was in the first quarter. Shut them out the last three.
Actually, yeah, they took a lead, didn't they? It was 6-0
mm-hmm.
Texas Tech at one point.
Right. So, I don't know. I don't know. What, it's Farmageddon is this weekend, I think, of what up
That's
in
right.
Ames.
Yes.
So
and
you got
K-State
that
has to win
on.
To get bowl eligible. They got to win that game.
Well, they'll be underdogs, obviously, on the road. I haven't looked at the line, but... probably not overwhelming underdogs, but underdogs the same. I don't know. Does the model keep changing for K-State, or do we maintain the same hard line with what we've seen through most of this season with the Wildcats?
Well, it's not like they beat them 60-6. It was
no.
21-6. So,
but 21-6, the way that they play, that's a pretty one-sided game.
It is, but that's kind
you know?
Of a like you're the tallest short guy in the room kind
You're right.
of comparison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They still only
You're right.
scored 21 points. So to answer your question, have we come off of our stance or does that change anything just because they beat Texas Tech? I would say absolutely not.
I would say I mean, not, they, too. They, Skylar Thompson was good coming back. I thought he was solid. And they've got, I don't know if he's the best running back in the Big 12, but he's the leading running back in the Big 12.
He's a workhorse.
And they fly around defensively and do some things. I will. Blake Seiler's defense has had some moments here down the stretch. Now, they've given up a lot on occasion, but they've had some moments. And I love Dalton Reisner.
He almost caught a touchdown pass.
Which would have been really cool, yeah. right? Which would have been really cool. But he will keep the string alive for years in a row, and I'm not sure what the string is now, that Kansas State will have had someone taken in the draft. And this will be another first-rounder, Dalton Reisner. But they've had someone taken in the draft, I think, good Lord, I think it's 15, 16-something years in a row now. So, anyway.
By the way, so, if things stay the way they are, and for UCF they probably will, assuming they win, they'll go mm-hmm. back to the Peach Bowl again against yeah. a couple of different people from ESPN weigh in on the bowl projections. UCF LSU is a possibility, and UCF Florida a possibility in the Peach Bowl.
You know, those look good on paper. My deal with that is, with, and it has nothing to do with UCF, but LSU and Florida going to the Peach Bowl, I'm just not sure how motivated those football teams are to play in games like that.
Florida?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't
Florida
know.
Florida would damn sure better be, because you don't want to let UCF beat you.
You wouldn't think,
I mean, that's, yeah, an in-state game like that, I think, has a lot more intrigue than UCF-LSU. Florida, you look past UCF, and you'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's
a good call.
That's the level of intrigue for me there, if UCF does play Florida or someone in, you know, from the mm-hmm. state of Florida in a major bowl game. They've got a big enough chip on their shoulder the way it is. If Florida walks in there uninterested, like I said, you'll never hear the end of it. But Dan Mullen, in his first year there, I have a feeling he's the type of guy that probably wouldn't let that happen. Or
I wouldn't think so either. And Florida's been fairly consistent and pretty motivated this season. That's a pretty good story out of the SEC. The way that Florida's kind of bounced back to. I mean, that's a pretty strong football team.
Well, he didn't walk in there with a covered bear. And that mm-hmm. when you replace somebody as a head coach, 95% of the time, that's the case. But Felipe Franks was his quarterback coming back, and so you at least had some pieces there. And he must be a pretty good coach. I'm okay with
yeah, I think he is.
The state
I think
of
he is
Florida
a good
football
nope.
under Dan Mullen. He's pretty good.
Chiefs and Rams coming up tonight in L.A. Get you ready for that as we continue to roll this morning, a Monday edition. Shane and Bruce with you right here on Sports Daily.